just allow ourselves to get into the presence of the Lord. He's already here anyway. Amen. Just let us get our minds focused back on Him.
More than conquerors, we are not to be afraid. I have an end that's powerful, as your is love. All the way He gave His Son, and new life to everyone. And the name in separates from His love. It's the life that I hope that He brings. His forgiveness leads us to sing. We are free to love like a God has loved. We are free to give like He gave. We are free from sin. We are free to begin to forgive as we forgave. We are free.
We are living evidence. He restores our innocence. Jesus stands in our defense, all for love. It's the grace and the peace that He brings. His forgiveness that leads us to sing. We are free to love like our God has loved. We are free to give like He gave. We are free from sin. We are free to begin to forgive as He forgave. We are free. We are free.
Nothing can separate us, Lord. Nothing can ever take us from You. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us, Lord. Nothing can ever take us from You. From You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we do come to You this afternoon, and Father, we do thank You for that which Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. Father, we thank You that we can live that life of freedom. And Father, we know that You are there with us and that You promised You'd never leave us or forsake us. Father, just let Your presence just fill this place, fill the hearts of each and every one of Your children here in this room. Lord, fill the hearts of every one of Your children in the sanctuary with Dee. Lord, I just ask that Your anointing and Your Holy Spirit's power would flow over her as it flows through here. And Lord, we're just to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Father, bless your children today. Father, hide me behind the cross. Let every word and every thought that proceeded from these lips be of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I welcome you today. And not sure that I'm going to give you a whole lot of something new, but I am going to bring a lot to your remembrance. When Nancy called back in August, I don't know if she had realized it was actually my second week out of quadruple open-heart surgery. When she called, and I just knew that when she asked me, it was an honor and a privilege, and I knew the Lord would have me taken care of by then, so I didn't even hesitate in accepting the invitation, but it is an honor. My subject is the sound of God's triumph in all things. I believe truly in my heart that God is constantly speaking to every one of us. I believe that the problem is we're not listening. And I kind of used this illustration several times in other messages, but how many of you here are old enough to remember the old radios that had a tuning dial on them? And how many know that if there was a favorite song that you was listening to or a favorite whatever it was you was listening to, and all of a sudden it started to get a little bit staticky, you would just take and turn the dial just a little bit, and it would pop it in, and maybe about 10 or 15 minutes later, you have to turn it the other way. Of course, we know today with digital, you don't do that. And I think the problem is as God's children, and as we get maybe a little more mature in the Lord, and we walk with the Lord a little bit longer, I believe a lot of times we get ourselves out of tune of listening to God totally. A lot of it's got to do with, some of it's got to do with what we've learned. Some of it's got to do with what the Holy Spirit's poured inside of us. But the key thing is we have to learn to constantly be listening for the sounds of God. And the sounds are everywhere, whether it's in the sound of triumph, whether it's in the sounds of healing, whether it's in the sounds of anything that you're there, that sounds are there. We just have to learn to listen to them. I always remember my brother-in-law got saved. He was a he was just bad. That's all I can tell you. He was so bad that he actually had a mafia hit on him. I tell you, the crowd that he ran with, he had plastic surgery to change his looks, his name. And I remember that he didn't believe in God at all. He didn't believe there was a heaven. He didn't believe there was a hell. And I remember he used to say, you know, he said, Christianity is for weak people. And I remember many times my wife and I going down to visit him, and actually we hadn't seen him for 10 years because the lady that he had been married to, not the lady that he was living with at that point, but the lady he had been married to, her father was a top surgeon in Columbus. And when he found out that there was a mafia hit on him, he gave him enough money to disappear because he didn't want his daughter or his grandchild found dead someplace in Columbus, Ohio. And I remember for 10 years, we actually did not know where he was. And it just happened to be, I was going down to visit her father with our first child, and we had heard that he was in Florida somewhere, and we had heard that his name was now Troxel. It wasn't what his original name was. And so when we got to Florida, I said, well, how many Troxels can there be? I mean, that's a pretty weird name, at least I thought. And I remember we went down through a phone book and we looked it up, and finally did get a hold of him. But the thing why I'm telling you this is because when we went to go visit him, he at that point was over $1,000 a day cocaine habit. And not did he $1,000 cocaine, but he had a business that could support not running the business but the employees plus spending $1,000 a day on cocaine. And I remember that he told us, you know, he said, now listen, he said, you guys are more welcome to come, but don't be pushing this Jesus stuff down me. And we didn't. We just loved him, and there it was. And make a long story short, 2 years later, at 1:30 in the morning, we heard this beating on our door, and we opened the door, and here was Vicky's brother. And he was a totally looking different person. And he had been saved 53 days. The day that he came to our house. And why do I share that to you? Because one of the first things he said to us was, he said, I never was so amazed of the sounds of God that I never heard until I got saved. And I remember him talking about him getting saved, and throwing this in here because I want you to understand something, that when he got saved, The Lord delivered him of a $1,000 a day cocaine habit miraculously that moment. Now, he didn't deliver him from all the other things, bad things he had to work through, but he delivered him. And I always remember that. He kept alliterating about how that there were so many sounds of God that he had never heard before. And listen, we need to learn to listen for the sounds of God. We need to learn to understand that we triumph in God, and that's what I'm going to share today. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 14. I hope you brought your Bible with you, because one of the things those who attend our church and those who are in here know, one of the things I'm going to give you is I'll give you the Word of God. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm going to give you the Word of God. And then you have to base allowing the Holy Spirit to draw you into the revelation of what that Word of God means for you. Does that make sense? Everybody agree with that? And so I hope you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, there's some Bibles up here, because I'm going to bring you to a lot of different scriptures to back up what I'm sharing with you today, because I want you to be able to have these scriptures that you can fall back on. Because, listen, the enemy's number one job in our lives is to kill, steal, and destroy us. Amen? And one of the first areas I can tell you that he does that is within our mind. And so what he does is he tries to detune or get us off channel or off the station of hearing God all the time. Even though we know it's truth, we begin to allow other things to begin to come in and begin to distract us and begin to try to draw us away from the truth. How many know what I'm talking about? How many has been through there before? But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verses 14 and 15. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which has always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge, but by us in every place. For we are to God a sweet savor of the Christ in them who are saved, in them who are perished." Listen, when I said to you earlier, when God began to lay on my heart what to share with you, the first comment that I thought to myself, well, Lord, they've heard a lot of this. But yet he led me back to 2 Peter, and I want you to turn there just for a few moments. We're not going to focus there very long. But I want you to show you what the Lord had said to me. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." I believe my job today or in this workshop is to put you into remembrance of those things that you know are true. Those things that may be a little bit tarnished, maybe those things that maybe don't have the clarity that they had at one time because of many other obstacles that have come into your life, or many struggles that have come into your life, or many maybe you're dealing with sicknesses, or you're dealing with a different type of heartbreak, and all of those things the enemy tries to use to draw us away from the truth. How many know what I'm talking about? And it's really easy. If we listen to the wrong sounds, how many know we make the wrong decisions? You know, that's why it's so cautious. I'm not much of a hunter, but I know that there's a lot of people that are hunters. And how many know one of the key things in hunting is you've got to listen to the sound of what you're going to shoot at, because it may not be what you think. And so it's that. And he says here, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them." That's why I said earlier, I don't know if I'm going to give you a new revelation, but I believe I'm going to stir up the truth that you know in you. And he goes on, and be established in the present truth. How many know this is the present truth? How many know this is the Word of God? And so we've got to understand. I've had people say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know who God is?" And I'll tell them right here, the Bible. If you want to know God's nature, God's character, God's design, a lot of God's thinking, then all we need to do is go to the Word of God, amen? And then allow God's Word through revelation. It might be a rhema word that comes to you that God gives you, but and gives you maybe a clarity of that word, but the Word is here. How many agree with that? And it's the Word that we got to stand by. Paul tells us that in our opening text, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." If you underline your Bible, I some people don't. I write all over my Bible. That's how I remember things when God gives it to me. But the thing you need to remember is it says, "which always causes us to triumph." How many believe that God only wants the best for you? How many believe that God knows more about every situation, circumstances that you and I deal with than anyone else? And so the key thing that we've got to understand is we've got to listen to the sounds of God. We've got to understand, let the truths of God, when I'm saying listen to the sounds, listen to what the Spirit is telling you. The Spirit of the Lord, not the spirit of the flesh, not the spirit of someone else, not the spirit of somebody that's giving you something that's contradicting to the Word. Listen, God will never contradict His Word. He will never go against His Word. And so we need to learn to listen to what He says that causes us to try. How many know that immediately God, through His Son Christ, has already paid the price for you and I to have victory, triumph in everything that we deal with. In our finances, in our relationships, in our health, in our home, whatever it is. He's already given in us. You know, you might say, well, Pastor Steve, don't you think you're stretching this a little bit? You know, no one can have perfect victory in everything. Yes, we can. Because victory is in the mind of the beholder. It's how you look at everything. You know, when troubles come your way, do you look at it as troubles or do you look at it as a lesson of learning something? Are you thanking God? You know, people say, thank God. Listen, one of the first keys in our victories is Paul says, thanks be unto God. Look what he said. Now, thanks be unto God. Let me give you, here's something that I've learned. When you and I begin to thank God in every situation, no matter what we're going through, it allows the Holy Spirit the latitude to be able to begin to speak to us and to work within each one of us. If we don't begin to thank God, that should be the number one. I tell our congregation, the first thing I do every morning is when I open my eyes and I see my ceiling fan turning, I'm thanking God. So it's going through open heart surgery and understanding the blessings that God gave me. And I'll maybe share a little bit of that with you, how you can say, well, how can open heart surgery be a blessing? But every night when I lay my head down, even prior to this, but one of the first things I do is just begin to thank God that He gave me another day. Because how many know we're not guaranteed any more days? Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time to be born and there's a time to die. We don't know. None of us is even guaranteed the next minute. But yet, when we know we have the victory and that Christ has paid for that victory and that victory has already there, how many know that we can triumph in it? How many know that death for a Christian is a promotion? You know, we're just here for a time to do the work, but eventually we're going to be in heaven. Amen. It's a victory when you look at it. You know, one of the greatest fears today in most people's life is death. But as a Christian, when you know that you've already got victory in that, when you know that the Bible tells us that the moment we take our last breath on this earth, our next breath with Him, Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians, we have victory. And so we can live in that victory knowing that we have that victory. So you say, well, you know, can everybody? Yeah, everybody lives in victory. Throughout God's word, how many times have we read when the odds were against the children of Israel that God always brought victory? And so we need to learn that. Well, that's why when Paul was saying, neglecting to bring to our remembrance, our remembrance is to remember those things, not what we feel were not victories or what we feel is defeats. Now, I learned a long time ago, don't look at anything as a defeat, but look at it as something that you've learned something out of. Draw out of it what you can learn that will help you be more successful through Christ in the next time. And a lot of times our victories or what we think are defeats really were victories for the Lord. Because it brought glory to God and it brought others to the forefront of who God was, and it brought others to the forefront that they see that no matter what we went through, there's nothing going to separate us. There's nothing. It doesn't make any difference. We've made a decision, we've made a determination that we're going to stick it through no matter what it is. And there's nothing greater that can take us away out of that. Amen? Amen? And so we have to understand the first key to your victory is the understanding that we've got to learn to continue to thank God. Thank him on the mountaintop. Thank him in the valley. Thank him for everything that he done. I heard this even several times this weekend, but are you thanking God for who he is, or are you thanking God for what he's done? There's a huge difference. Because it's really easy to thank God when things are going good, amen? But what about when things aren't going so good? And so when we learn to thank God, you know, Paul teaches that when we learn to be thankful to God, no matter what state we're in, it already sets the enemy up for defeat. Because we don't allow him to have the control of our mind. The word in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the word triumph there is a word that means, in Webster's Dictionary, said to rejoice over victory or success. Now, I don't know how much you've studied Roman history, but if you go over to Rome now, Nancy may have... has Nancy been in Rome? Okay. Well, Nancy may have seen this before then. But if you study Roman history, in Rome, there is a arch called the Arch of Triumph. And the Arch of Triumph, it was a Roman custom that when those generals would go out to war and they would go out to battle and they would have victories, that they would come back, and through those victories, they would be brought through what is called the Arch of the Triumph. And it was a celebration time. It was a time that all the city of Rome and all the Roman citizens would see the triumph. And it was a great time of celebration. And people would be uplifted because of the celebration. Well, how many know that we have an arch of triumph? And that arch is Christ. And when people see that we're excited, and people see that we're not downtrodden, or that we're not allowing the enemy to overcome us, and they see that joy and they see that happiness. How many of that is the triumph that they're seeing of Christ? Because they know that in our natural flesh, how many know we don't do that normally? But if Christ is living in us and we're listening to the sounds of Christ and we're listening to the victories and allowing the Holy Spirit to remind us of those victories that we've had in our past, and I'll share a way of doing that to you in a little bit. But think about this. The Romans had victories because of the generals that led those armies, because of their strategy, because of their guidance, because of their experience. Today, as a child of God, we have victory because of the dynamic author of our victories, and that is Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone. How many agree with that today? Without Christ, we would not have victory. Without Christ, you know what? We'd all still be on our way to hell. We'd all still be trapped in the world of sin. But because of Christ and what Christ did at the cross, he has given us the ultimate victory over life, over everything you and I deal with. It's a matter of where we see it. It's a matter of where our attitude is. You know, when we go into hard times, do we go in with the right attitude, or do we go with a bad attitude? Do we begin to be like Job's friends who begin to try to find things wrong with Job when there wasn't? How many of the battle with Job was not between Job and the devil? It was between God and the devil. God allowed it to happen, but he put restrictions on it. Amen? And see, today the devil is limited. He cannot do any more than what God allows him to do. And so it's the same thing in our lives. If we take the attitude and we listen to the sounds of what God is telling us when we're going through trials or tribulations, or even when we're on the mountaintop, then God will lead us in a successful strategy to overcome whatever the enemy's trying to bring against you. And so that's a key thing there. There was three things the Lord spoke to me when he began to give me the message about the three key things that we need to constantly be in remembrance of to stay in victory or stay in triumph during the times we go through things. The first one is that Jesus delivered us from death. Jesus delivered us from death. Let me prove to you. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. You found Philippians. Just go one more book. Listen to God's word here. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. He says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of the flesh, has he quickened together with him." How many understand there is your number one victory? When you and I were lost in the depths of our sins, when you and I had no way of getting out of that, do you understand that Christ paid the price immediately for that victory? There's none of you in here that looks like you're over 2,000 years old. If you do, you're doing a really good job, and let us know how you're doing it, okay? But I'll tell you, that was a hard thing for me to fathom when I first got saved. That Christ, 2,000 years ago, would die for me, and I wouldn't even thought about or born at that time. Jesus did not just come to save us. Jesus came to destroy death. Look at Paul's words, Hebrews chapter 2. Keep your finger there at Colossians 2 there a minute. But listen to the Paul's words on us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. You guys are going to beat me. My pages are all sticking together. How many's found it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "For much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood." How many in here are flesh and blood? How many's not sure? Somebody reach over and pinch somebody. Flesh and blood, okay? It says, "For as much then as the children are the partakers of flesh and blood, he who, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same." Listen, I think sometimes we forget that Jesus came and was human. Sometimes I think we forget that Jesus was a baby. We forget that Jesus had to be taken care of. Jesus had to have his diapers changed. Jesus had to be taught and fed. I think we forget about that sometimes. We think, well, yeah, but Jesus is in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding. He's the Son of God. No, he was the Son of God. But let me tell you, when he came to earth, he still came as 100% man. Why? So he could learn and go through the things that you and I will struggle with that he has already victory over. Amen? Listen, we're not praying to someone that hasn't felt our infirmities. When we're praying and seeking the Lord, he's already felt our infirmities. Amen? He goes on, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, who? Satan, who had the power of death, that is the devil. Listen, if Jesus is not alive today, then there are many people that are in graves today that are still in sin. But he is alive. If you don't believe it, just go back and look at the accounts of over 500 men, 500 people saw Jesus. If you don't believe it, look at Acts chapter 1, I think it's verses 11 through 13, when Jesus was ministering and they were standing there gazing at him, and all of a sudden he ascends up into heaven. And they said, this same Jesus. Listen, Jesus is the one that gave us the victory, and Jesus is the one that's coming back to collect those of us that walk in the victory and the sounds of God's triumph. Amen? He's the one. Now look back again to Colossians chapter 2. See, I told you guys, keep your finger there, and I lost it. He said, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all sins. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Listen, when we were unsaved, we were dead spiritually. We were alive in our physical body, but we were dead spiritually. How many agree with that? When Adam and Eve sinned and they were put out of the garden, did they die physically? No, they died spiritually. And so one of the first things that we understand is that Jesus delivers from death. We were spiritually dead even though we were walking people. We needed resurrection. We needed a miracle. I needed a miracle when I got saved. And I'll tell you why. Because, see, I didn't see myself as a bad person. I saw myself as someone who helped others. I saw myself one who didn't cheat on my wife. We didn't cheat on our business. We had a very successful business with 47 employees. You know, I saw myself as a good person. But let me tell you something. I was still on my way to hell. If I'd have died, I still would have went to hell. My death was that, amen? How many agree with that? I needed a miracle. I needed victory over the old man. And that's nothing against you ladies. This is phrasing of it, okay? Because we're all the old person, I guess a better word to use. Over the power of Satan. I used to get irritated when people would try to witness to me. And how many have ever been dangled over the pit of hell? Or how many know what I'm talking about? People come up to me and they say, well, if you keep doing that, you're going to go to hell. I'm going like, I already know that, duh. It would get to the point, I'd be like, how many ever saw the show Tool Time? It'd be the point, here I am. I'm like that guy that used to hide behind the fence. I'd see him coming and I knew what was coming. I'd hide behind something. And then it always fails. We never wait long enough. We pull it down, there they are, right in front of him. It's like, oh, I've been had. Tell you a quick story. I went to visit, these people had come to visit the church, and they were from out of up in North or Newark. Some of you might know where that's at. It's a little bit east of Zanesville. And I remember telling them, I called them and I said, now I'm going to be up this way. And is it all right if I stop and see? And they said, oh, yeah, stop by. Now, you got to realize they lived in an apartment complex. And I'm not literally kidding you. The end of the parking lot and their front door is about where John was. And so I pull up to their door and I can see all the lights on in their house and everything, you know. And I walk up to the door and knock on the door, and you hear all this noise, and it goes silent. And so anyway, I thought, something you got to take now. I'm pretty ornery, so anyway, I just got out my cell phone, and I called their number. Ding, ding, ding. I'm standing at their front door, and I said, "Hey, this is Pastor Smith. Is it all right if I stop in and see you?" Oh yeah, and I went, "Knock, knock, knock." And they opened the door and they went, "We've been had." Why did I tell you that? I don't know. I forgot what I was going to tell you. But listen, we need to deliver. Jesus gave us that victory when he destroyed him that had the power of death. One of the first things that we've got to be reminded of, and I believe these three keys, if we constantly keep them in the back of our mind and understand that we already have triumph in everything, is that we've got to be reminded of where we used to be, what we're not, where we're not are today. If it wasn't for Christ, how many know that we still would be we would still be spiritually dead? If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't know what it would be like to be delivered from the enemy's hand. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, listen to what he said here. He said, and deliver them. Verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took the part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to that bondage. Listen, if we have victory over death, what else can we not have victory over? There's nothing we can't have victory over. It's a win-win situation. When I went in for open heart surgery, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about this whole deal, it happened within 4 days. From when they discovered it to the going to it. I remember somebody looking at me, and the funny part about it was they wanted to know who all my entourage was that was there. There was probably 30-some people showed up from the church, and they couldn't even get them all in the room. They had them lined up out in the hall. And you thought I was going to a parade as they was taking me out of there, which I was thankful. But I remember one of the girls that was rolling me down, she said, "Are you scared?" And I said, "Nope." She said, "Are you worried?" I said, "Nope." And she goes, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm a child of God. I already have victory. This is a win-win situation. If the Lord decides to make it successful, I win. If the Lord decides to take me home, I win." Amen. I have victory. We have victory, church. We have victory over what Satan's whole goal was to what? To kill, steal, and destroy us. How many of you can't kill you if you're already dead in the flesh? Remember when Jesus told him, and it's kind of paraphrasing, but remember he told him when the disciples came back from all the miracles they were doing and they were so excited about how God had used them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what was Jesus' word? Be thankful that your names are written what? In the book of life. Listen, we can have victory over everything because the number one thing that we got to constantly remember is we've already won. It's a win-win situation no matter what you're going through. The second victory we have is Jesus delivered us from our debt. How many know that we all had a debt we couldn't pay? Look back at Colossians again, number 2, but verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together him and have forgiven you all your trespasses. Do you know one of the greatest deception that the enemy uses on the children of God is he constantly tries to remind them of their unsinful past or their sinful past. How many of the Bible tells us our sins are far from the east as they are from the west? How many tells us that when God sees us, he sees us through the eyes of Christ? And how many know that when the enemy, who is known as the accuser, comes into the throne room and begins to wave things about you in front of him, how many know he goes, I don't know what you're talking about? We have victory of that he has forgiven us of all of our sins. Our debts have been paid. The trespasses, you could clarify or bring it into a word that says it's our debts. How many here got had debts or have had debts? We all have. Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. What is the handwriting of the order? It was the written law that stated we had done a crime and there was a penalty. How many know there's laws that says if you go up Route 60 here back towards Duncan Falls and you drive over 55, there is a penalty if you get caught driving faster than that, and it's called a ticket. And how many know you can go to court, and you can argue up and down, but how many know 99% of the time the officer still wins, amen? And so he was talking about the ordinance of the handwriting of the Lord. How many know that the ordinance was that Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is what? Death. But he tells us the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. And so we understand that we've all was in that bracket. Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there's not one of us perfect. Amen. But because of Christ and the victory that he gave us, we can know that our sins have been forgiven. And too many Christians today walking around without victory in their life because they're constantly allowing the enemy to beat them up about their past. And your past is your past. Amen? You can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about your present. That's why Jesus came, to give us a way that our past could be our past and there could be a new sound that we would hear, and that would be the sound of him, the sound of his love, his sound of his compassion, the sound of his encouragement and strengthening. All of those things that we can hear when the enemy is trying to blast everything into, when we hear that. The problem is we got to keep ourselves fine-tuned to remember those things. Because if we remember the key things that he did, it tells us and shows us how much love God had for us. Think about how many of you in this room would give up your child for people who you knew would reject you anyway. How many would give up your grandchild? Yet God was willing to say, I will give my son. I'll give my son. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. If he loves us that much, do you think he's not going to give us victory and triumph and everything? That's why Paul had that call. Listen, when Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was not a novelist. Paul had been through many, you study Paul's life, he had been through many struggles, he had been through many battles, he had had some victories, he had had some defeats, but Paul understood one thing, that he was triumphed in Christ, and that no matter what the enemy did to him, he always had victory, because God always had the best for Paul. When Paul was stoned, isn't it amazing? God would raise him up. They'd run Paul out. God would send him to another town. He didn't get discouraged. I'm sure he dealt with that, but I believe that because he remembered those things that God had done for him. They were overcoming those things that was against him. Think about this. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I thought about this. If you'd look at the devil today, and let's say that this was a courtroom, Satan could be what we would know as the prosecuting attorney. Because the Bible says he's forever going to the throne room and he's accusing the brethren. That's why he's called an accuser. And so he's the prosecuting attorney that is looking at us and he's looking at God and saying, well, I know you know Jerry, but look at Jerry's life. Look what Jerry's done. Look what Jerry's, how he's been. Da, 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 da. And God goes, he's my son. I don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price that our sins have been forgiven. That's why they're called the past. He's the accuser. He goes around accusing. He stands before God and he reiterates all of our sins. And he demands penalty for those sins. Jesus, I guess you could say, he's our defense attorney. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. He's our advocator. 1 John 2, verse 1. He's ever interceding for us. And Jesus stands up and says, yes, Father, Jerry was a sinner. But he's covered by the blood. He has been washed clean. He's as white as snow. And he may say, no, I paid the price. See, when you and I couldn't pay the price, Jesus paid the price. He said, no, I paid the price. Once in a while, I love to go through a drive-thru. Now, let me clarify that. Like Wendy's or something like that. Okay. Now, let me say this to you because this is a conviction the Lord put on me, not you. But years ago, the Lord spoke to me about not going through drive-thrus. And what I mean by drive-thrus is that sell beer and wine and all. Now, I know they sell pizza and I know they sell sandwiches and I know they sell chips and they sell all that other stuff. But the Lord just spoke to me and convicted me not to go through those things. So the drive-thru I'm talking about is like Wendy's. And what I love to do is I love to, they'll get three or four cars behind me, and I'll just tell the girl, I said, listen, I'm going to pull over here, and the next three cars goes through, give them their meal, give them whatever it is free, and then I'll come in and I'll settle up with you. I don't know who they are. I don't really care. It's just it's just blessing them. Listen, that's what Jesus did. When Jesus went to the cross and he paid the price and gave us the triumph over our sins, he didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to do this for John, but I'm not going to do this for Kim. He said, I don't care who they are. This is for eternity. This is for those who ain't even around yet. But I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to say, Father, I'm paying the price. I'm taking the debt that no one they could pay for. I'm taking that debt and I'm giving it to them if they'll just accept it. What a victory do we have? He just may say, Father, it's finished. I remember the last several words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross. Most people say, well, it's finished. But how many know the three greatest words that he said to all mankind was he looked down at those who had accused him, those who had rejected him. Just several days before had praised him and yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna, and did all that. And he looks down with all the sins of the world upon him, with everything that he had went through. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why am I telling you that? Because that same thing is still there today. There's too many Christians living in defeat because they mess up and they can't understand why they mess up. And then the enemy beats them and beats them and beats them and beats them over their head over and over again. When the Father says, the throne room is open, just come to me and I'll forgive you. Amen? See, we can have victory in anything, in everything, if we understand the price that was paid so that we can have victory for everything. And it was paid by Christ. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice. And that he gave his life. He would be the defense attorney standing there and saying, it is paid for, Father. The debt that the enemy stands here, the penalty that the enemy is declaring needs to be paid, I've already paid it. It's finished. Let me prove it. Turn to Romans 8. Look at verses 33 and 34. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, yea, rather who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's constantly interceding for us. He's constantly, the sounds of God in victory, he's constantly telling you and I how much he loves us. He's constantly trying to encourage us. He's constantly trying to bring to our remembrances those things that he has carried us through. When we thought there was no way out, when we thought there was no greater way of escape, and yet he made a way that we could escape. Paul said in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he lives to make intercession for us. We have an advocator that is constantly before the throne of God. And he is forever interceding for you and I in everything. Whenever we come to him, he's interceding. And Paul says, thanks be unto God. And the more that we learn to thank God, and the more that we mean it, and we thank him in every state that we're in every circumstance that we're in, the more liberty we give the Holy Spirit to tune us into where we hear what the Spirit has to say. Listen, the Spirit of God will always be louder than the devil if we're listening for the Spirit of God. If we're looking for our own answers, if we're looking for other people to answer them, then a lot of times we're going to get disappointed. That's why Solomon taught us in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, to lean upon him, the Amplified Bible says. To have assurance in him. Listen, I can have assurance in the one that I serve because, number one, he died so that one day I could have life eternal. I can have assurance and know that I have victory in every circumstances because I know the one that blotted out every sin that has been in my life. Amen? And if he loved us that much, do you think that he's going to let us fall? Do you think that he's going to let us down? No. why Paul said to bring to each the truth that we know. But sometimes we let the truth get clouded just enough that whatever we're going through begins to overtake what we're going through. And next thing you know, we're not walking in the victory that we should have, but we're walking in defeat. And we're not defeated because Christ already paid the price for our victories. Amen? The third victory that I believe that we need to get an understanding is Jesus delivered us from the devil. Not did Jesus come just to overcome death, it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and paid our debt, which is Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus also came that we could overcome, he overcame the devil for us. Look at Colossians 2, verse 15. He says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What's he saying? Jesus stripped Satan of all the majesty that he once had. How many of you understand that the devil used to be in heaven? How many understand that Satan used to be the worship leader? And how many understand that he was close enough to God that he knew when God spoke a word, that word came to pass? If you don't believe that, why do you think Jesus, and when he was coming out of the wilderness after 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted, what did Jesus use against the enemy? The word. He didn't have to use any of his authority or power, even though he had it and could have used it. He used the word because the devil cannot defeat the word. You want to drive the devil crazy when you're going through something, start preaching the word to him. Start getting your Bible. Start getting the word of God out and start asking the Holy Spirit to fine-tune you into something that you're going through that gives you scriptures that you have victory. And then start reading that to the devil because he can't defeat that. Oh, he might defeat our praise and our sometimes our worship because it's half-hearted because we're not really doing it right. But he cannot never defeat the word. That's why he left. He stripped him. The word spoil is a Greek word that means stripped. He stripped the devil. He shamed him. Satan has been shamed. Paul said he made a public spectacle of him. See, Satan still wants us to see him as someone still has power and control, but Jesus showed him, stripped him, and brought him into shame that we understand that he's only limited to the power that he's got. Now, you may not like this, but listen, we give the devil more power sometimes than what he really got. Because we don't walk in the victory that's already been given to us. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I'm telling you, the victory is there. Now, when I found out I had to have open heart surgery, I told you, I was not worried. I had no thought. I had no concern about it. Because I knew that I was going to be victorious. The day that Nancy called and she had shared a little bit ago about, you know, really not wanting to call and you know, because of you know, what had been going on. And when she called, it wasn't I had to pray about it. I just knew the instant she asked, but I already had victory. That's why I told her, I said, I'll be fine by then. Even though by reality, it said, no, you won't. But I wasn't looking at reality. I was looking at the one who paid the price for my spiritual life, the one who paid the price for all my sins to be gone, the one who paid the price that delivered me out of the hands of the devil. I'm not thinking, if he can do all that, what in the world's open heart surgery to him? Amen? Listen, our victory in everything of this world is not in us or our abilities. It's in Christ and Christ alone. Let me prove to you. Turn to 1 John 5. I told you I'd give you a lot of scripture. But I want you to see it through the Word of God. I want you to hear it in me. I want you to see it through the Word. I want you to, these scriptures that you can take home and begin to use them against the enemy. 1 John 5. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. How many in here is born of God? How many of you have already got the victory of overcoming the world? But we've got to walk in that victory. Listen, every ball team, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, whatever, do you understand that part of that winning the game is the mindset when they walk on the field, we have victory. We see the scoreboard. We are ahead. We see that the final count. Listen, we already have that. We know. How many know have read the end of the book? How many knows it says we already have victory? How many of that means that when we walk into any circumstances that the enemy tries to bring against us, we already know the winning cycle. We know we're it. It's an attitude. Listen, every day you choose to have the attitude you have. You can have a good attitude, positive attitude, you can have a negative attitude. I just choose to have a good attitude. Somebody said, do you wake up like this? I said, I do. Ask my wife. After 43 years of marriage, I learned one thing about my wife. She is not a morning person. I will get her coffee, and I'll have it ready for her, and I won't say a word to her. In 1 hour, to the key, I can start talking to her. That's just how she is, okay? But we have victory already. Look what he says. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's faith in Christ and the cross, and it's the finished work that Christ did, and it's allowing us to have the latitude to let the Holy Spirit speak to us every day, every hour, every minute. We're just too distracted. You want to hear that if you don't think that you really hear from the Lord, I'm going to give you a secret how to learn how to do it. Go home and take your closet, some of you ladies, some of you men, clean out the bottom of your closet. Get in the closet and shut the door. Where it's dark, you can't see nothing, there's no visible noise. I'm telling you something, you will be amazed how fast you can hear from the Lord. Because we've taken away all the distractions. What's the first thing we do when we get in our car most of the time? Turn the radio on or turn the seat. And listen, I'm a person that I'm on the road a lot. I love to listen to other preaching and that type of thing. But there's times that I hear the Spirit say, turn off everything. Listen to my voice. Hear what I've got to say. I'm not saying that in the sermons and the things I'm listening to are not feeding me and giving me things, but how many of we need fresh bread from the actual one? We need manna. Why do you think he gave them manna in the wilderness every day? Except on Sundays, because of the Sabbath. Because there's too many Christians today that's living off old manna. The last time they had an experience with God's been 30 years ago. Praise God they had it 30 years ago, but I want to tell you something. It's not what happened 30 years ago. I want to tell you something. It's not what happened last night. It's what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You can't live on yesterdays. You can't live in the past and have victory. We've got to live into the presence of what God is doing for us right now. One day we'll live in the future where we don't have to worry about all those things. Revelation 21:4. But right now, we're still here. And we're one. I love what Nancy said. We're one. We're one in him. Don't believe that. Study John chapter 15 about the vine. When we're in him, we're one. And if we're one, how many know if he's got victory, we got victory in everything. Whether it's victory in our mind, victory in our overcoming our healings, whatever it is. He said, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes, underline the word believes, that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus did what the Bible tells us he did? Do Do you believe that when it said in Isaiah 53, 5, that by his stripes you're healed? Do you believe when he says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your care upon him? Do you believe that? That's part of the battle. Because if we don't believe, how many of the enemy already has a stronghold over us? How many remember the story of this father that had brought his son to the disciples to be healed? And the disciples tried healing him, and they didn't succeed at healing him. And Jesus comes on the scene, and if you study that passage, now the Pharisees were involved in it, the disciples were involved in it, the father was involved in it, the child was involved in it. And Jesus comes on the scene, and just kind of paraphrasing, he kind of just says, well, what's going on? And the father tells him, and what did Jesus do? Who did he speak to first? He spoke to the father. He spoke to the father, and he says, do you believe? And what did the father say? Yes, but help me with what? My unbelief. Why was he saying that? Obviously, the father at some way or some place had heard or maybe been a part of seeing the miracles Jesus had done, the miracles the disciples had done. But because of all the staticky noise that was going around, because it didn't happen that moment, all of a sudden, here's this doubt that's starting to creep back into the father. That's why he said, he who believes that Jesus is the Son. If Jesus died on a cross to take away our death, if Jesus died on a cross to take away our sins, and if Jesus died on the cross to deliver us from the devil, don't you think that he's going to give you victory in everything? Jesus paid the price for our victories. Our job is to believe and trust in him. And that only comes from total surrender. There's a lot of people today that are believers, but they've never totally surrendered their life to the Lord. There's a huge difference. Paul said it this way. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1. When you get there, say you got there. He says, if you then be risen with Christ. What's he saying? How many in this room have a new life? So you've been risen. You was raised from a spiritual death now to a spiritual life. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the God. What's he saying there to us? I believe he's just saying that no matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter whether the odds looks against you, seek the things above. Seek what you know is truth. Seek what you know in your heart. Seek what you know that have had victories time after time after time. Don't focus upon what you're going through at that point. He says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on earth. Listen, everything on this earth is temporal, including us. There's one thing I can guarantee you in this room. You were born and you will eventually die. I guess the second thing would be we're all changing whether you like it or not. It's very inevitable. Some's got less hair, some's got more hair, whatever. Amen? He says, for you are dead. What's he talking about? Dead to the old life. Listen, we got to learn to be dead to the sounds of the enemy. We got to learn to determine what is the sound of God and what is the sound of them. How are you going to know whether it's the sound of God or sound? Because God will never contradict his word. It'll be the word of God. It'll be the spoken word that he'll give you. The devil's a liar. Yeah, he can counterfeit, but isn't it amazing? Even, how many in here know somebody that's a perpetual liar? How many know eventually they forget how many times they've told the story that they don't remember what they told the first time? So how many know eventually they catch their own self in their own lie? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. How many know that's what the devil does? He lies so much that he tries to convince you of something that we've already got victory over, and then he doesn't remember that he did that, and we have victory over him. He says, you are dead. You have a new life. Your life is in based in what Christ did at the cross for us. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Listen, one of these days we're going to see Christ as he really is. One of these days we're going to see the nail-scarred hands and his feet, the side that was pierced. I've heard people say, well, I can't wait to get to heaven. And when I see Christ, I'm going to ask him this. You know what? I would say most of us are going to fall on our face at his feet to worship him because of what he has done for each one of us. See, it takes totally being sold out to him. Satan has been subdued. He's been triumphed over. Jesus has given us the victory in everything we face to do. The second point is that I want you to see is the arena of our victory. Look back at our opening text real quick. It says, now thanks be to God, which also always causes us to triumph in Christ. Underline the word, which always. Put a circle around it. Because if he says it's always, how many know then it's what? Always. He goes on and says, every end makes manifest Savior of the knowledge by us in what? Every place. That means he's going to give us victory in every area of our life if we walk within the will of him and we walk in the promises that he has given us. That means that victory is there. How many know that that means there's nothing left out? If he says that it's, which is always, and it's in every place, how many that means he's covering the whole gamut? That's not we're going to triumph. Sometimes that's not that we're going, that we might triumph. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we have victory in our circumstances, victory in our families, victory in our jobs, victory in our health, victory in our finances. Because of the promises that God has given us. I want to leave you with this. One of the greatest things that's helped me to constantly be reminded of the victory as God is called what I call a prayer book. You can ask anybody who comes to our church. Anytime anybody asks me to pray for them, it goes in my prayer book. You can look this prayer book. It's pretty bad shape. It's got all kinds. But here's what I'm going to share with you. Is when I go to prayer, the first thing I get out is my prayer book. And I begin to pray over those prayers that people have asked me to pray. And let me just throw this in here quick. If somebody asks you to pray for them, and you're a person that doesn't remember most of the time, learn to write it down. Here's the reason why. If somebody asks you to pray for them, and you say, I'll pray for you, I can assure you within a very short period of time, that person is going to be back in front of you. And they're going to say, Brother John, have you been praying for me? Now, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to lie through your teeth, or you have the answer, yes, I prayed for you. And let me tell you what the enemy loves to do. Is if you're honest with him and say, no, I'm sorry, I forgot. Immediately, the enemy speaks to their mind and says, see, I told you wasn't worthy. I told you weren't acceptable. But the key thing that the prayer book has helped me in victories is this. Is that when the enemy tries to drag me down, when the enemy tries to take away my joy, when the enemy tries to get me to a place where I don't think we have triumph and victory, and everything, I get my prayer book out. Because every prayer that gets answered, I start highlighting it off. And you look at this book. I mean, it's in bad shape. I won't give it up because And you know what I do? I get my book out and I start reading. Oh my, this prayer got answered. This prayer got answered. This was for salvation. This was for healing. This was for blood pressure. This was for finances. This was for a relationship. This was for this, this, this. And next thing I know, there, I look at it and all of a sudden the Spirit rises up in me because I'm thinking, if God will do that for them, why would God not let me triumph in my circumstance? Because God wants us to triumph in everything. And God has given us victory in everything. If we'll just walk in the victory that he's given us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. I don't know how many of you in here today that is going through situations and struggles. But I want you to get the assurance as Brother Allen comes and listen to this song. We want to pray over you today. We want to pray that the anointing of God's victory is sealed into your heart. Because every one of you in this room, God loves. Everyone in this room, God wants to see you to walk in the triumphs that he has given you. He wants to see you be the light that he's called us to be. He wants to see this lost, dying world to see that it's Christ and Christ alone. And that he has given us the victory. We live within his victory and his assurance. That no matter what we go through, and listen, we're going to go through things. Part of that victory is learning to praise God in no matter what state you're in. Think about Acts, and we won't look at it today. You can look at it later, but Acts chapter 16, verses 18 through 31, of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas was cast into the prisons. Now, if you've ever done any history, biblical history, you'll find out that the prisons that they were cast into were nothing like the prisons we see today. Most of the prisons were in the bottom of dungeons, and raw sewage flowed through the cells, and it was just dirty and nasty, and it was just not a place of... But yet, there was Paul and Silas. Who was there because they was proclaiming Jesus Christ. And as they're in that dungeon, when they could have been bellyaching and complaining, they could have been looking at the circumstances as we've lost, there's no victory here. Paul and Silas begin to sing. They begin to praise their God in the midst of the worst situation that they were in at that moment. And out of their praise, you know the story, the walls were shaken, the jail doors were open. And it's amazing to me that when you read that story, that not one prisoner was lost or escaped. And the prisoner, the guard, the gatekeeper, when he saw this, he was ready to end his own life because he knew the penalty was, if they escaped, his life was going to be taken anyway. And Paul, paraphrasing, said, no, we're all here. But out of their praising and singing and worshiping God, it says that the jailer come to know Christ. And not just the jailer, it says the family came to know. Listen, when you and I know in our hearts we have the victory in everything, we can worship God whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley. We can cry out the words that Alan's going to sing in this song. We can say, breathe on me. When you're going through whatever you're going through, begin to cry out to God. Breathe on me. Let my ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Let my heart be tuned in to the Word of God. Go ahead, Brother Allen.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
Breathe on me. Paul said, 2 Peter 2, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. No matter what you're going through right now, know the present truth. The truth is that you're loved by the Father. The truth is that Christ paid the price for all of our victories. And if we'll keep our eyes upon Him, no matter what we're going through, if we'll keep our eyes upon Him, the Word says we've already overcome. You may be going through a storm right now in your life, but you're going through it. You're going through it. And you know you're not walking alone. But Christ is walking with you. He's telling us not to fear, not to worry, but to believe in the truth of His written Word. To believe the truth that you are overcomers. That means we're on the top, not on the bottom. That means He's already defeated Satan for us. But we've got to walk in the power and the anointing of the finished work of Christ. Jesus' words to the churches, the seven churches in Revelation. He said, hear what the Spirit is saying. We've got to learn to hear what the Spirit is saying, not what our spirit is saying of the flesh. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And so we need to heed to the Spirit of what the Spirit is saying, no matter what it looks like to you. That you're overwhelmed with the assurance and the power of Almighty God. Ask the Lord right now just to breathe upon you. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart right now. Let Him unveil the victories that you've already triumphed in through Him. Let Him give you the assurance that that triumph will continue on as we place ourselves fully into His presence. Father, right now, we just humble ourselves before You. We say, Holy Spirit, have Your way right now in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us sell out to You totally and wholly. Help us to become in tune with You once again. That we walk in the victories that You have already provided. That gives us the assurance that we have victory in everything. Not in ourselves, but in You. Father, right now, let the power of Your Spirit right now. Let the anointing of Your Spirit right now fall upon Your children here right now. Holy Spirit, have Your way right now. Holy Spirit, move upon every single person in this room right now. Breathe anew upon us right now. We want fresh manna right now, Father. We want freshness of You right now in our lives. Father, get the junk out of us. Get those things that are distracting us from hearing You. Father, let our words be Your words. Let our thoughts be Your thoughts. If you're struggling with something today, we want to pray with you. We want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to overwhelm you today. Just step out from where you are and just kind of come here to the front up here by Brother Allen.